I want to read from Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 this evening, and that's part of that account that the children and Susan were referring to in the context of the favourite part of the Christmas story. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen. You know, I want just for a few moments this evening to focus on one other aspect of the Christmas story as we think about the unusual rest. You know, the shepherds had three clues to go on. One was Bethlehem. They were told to go to Bethlehem. The other was a manger. And the other was swaddling cloths. Now, I'm just going to go off camera for a moment, but I'll come back on because I want just to bring this little manger over into the shot. Swaddling cloths, a manger in Bethlehem. And the incredible thing is that on the basis of what they were given, the shepherds traveled into Bethlehem, and perhaps there was an awareness or it was easy to pick up the information, but they eventually found a place unusually where Jesus had been laid to rest as an infant, as a newborn baby, laid to rest in a little manger, in a feeding trough, in something that a cattle would use. And often when we reflect upon that, we reflect upon the poverty into which our Lord Jesus Christ was born. And we reflect on the fact that it wasn't in a palace, and although he was King of Kings, he had humbled himself and was born in a manger. But interestingly, the Bible tells us that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now, swaddling cloths, there was nothing unusual about that. Every child in that day would have been wrapped in swaddling cloths, just to give them that sense of safety, that sense of security, that sense that everything is as it should be. It was something that every child would experience. They would be wrapped in swaddling cloths. We ourselves still do the same thing. Don't we? We wrap the child in a shawl or in a little blanket. And which one of us doesn't love the opportunity of just taking a child wrapped in their swaddling cloths and holding them in their arms? You know, I was blessed this past year. I've been a papa now for quite a number of years, but Aaron and Chloe. But this year I was blessed with two more grandchildren. Sophia was born a little over 10 months ago. It was a little while before I could actually hold her because she was born just as everything was beginning to lock down. And so I didn't get as many early doors cuddles as I'd like to have got. You know, papas are very good at cuddles. Papas, generally speaking, are a little bit fatter than fathers. And that means that we're actually better at the cuddling game. And that's certainly the experience for my grandchildren. And the other little grandchild that I was gifted with and blessed with, of course, was little Addison. And she was born just a little over 10 weeks ago. And so I've had the real privilege over this past year of holding two newborn babies wrapped in the little swaddling blankets and holding them close. The other day, I was amazed as I was sitting watching my granddaughter, Sophia. She's got an older sister and an older brother, so at 10 months, she's already on her feet. At 10 months, she's standing on her own. At something like 8 months, she was going straight up the stairs on all fours, because she's got two older brothers, an older brother and an older sister, two older siblings. And the other thing is that she's getting into all their toys. And I was amazed. At 10 months, she goes for Chloe's dolls, and she picks them up and she pulls them straight into her arms and she swaddles them. 10 months of age. And she sits there just holding them, swaddling them. And you know, the incredible thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths to show us something incredible. God had become fully human. God was born, the babe in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. And God, on our behalf, in order that he might recognize with us, in order that he might be a sufficient savior for us, in actual fact, was in all the fragility of a newborn babe in Bethlehem's manger. And the swaddling cloths teach us something about the humanity of Jesus, about the way in which he has come to earth that he might restore us to himself. Absolutely incredible. We sometimes sing that song, Fullness of God in Helpless Babe. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And it's little wonder that Susan would empathize with that Mother Mary treasuring all these things in her heart, saying, what is going on in the unusual circumstances in which the Lord Jesus Christ has been born, in the incredible humility of God in coming down to earth, in the angelic announcements, good news of great joy, God recognizing with you and with me, God becoming man that he might become our sacrifice. You know, Jesus knew what it was to be bound in the swaddling cloths and the safety and security of his mother's arms. But of course, our Lord Jesus Christ also knew what it was at different times to experience all except sin. He never sinned. To experience all the agonies of what it is to live life in a fallen world. And of course, he knew what it was to be deserted by friends. There's two songs that we have had sung for us tonight. Bethany, well done to you, because one of the hardest things, I think, must be to not only puppet as you sing a solo, but incredible. And of course, Bethany was singing that beautiful song that says that Jesus made a way in a manger, but it was the way to the cross. And beautiful just to perform that, but to hear the words of that. And I'm going to ask the boys at the back if they'll do me a favour. I'm going to throw you, Joshua. But can you put up the words of the hymn that we've just sung? Stuart Townend, when he speaks about this song, talks about that song being one of the long line of story songs. You know that way sometimes when you listen to music, one of the things that you really enjoy is a story song. A song that in actual fact unpacks a story all the way through. And when you look at this song, I'm just going to move a little bit so I can see that one. But when you look at this song, it's a beautiful description of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it begins there in the squalor of Bethlehem's manger. But it's already pointing towards the anguish the shame, not only of being born in such humble surroundings, but it's already beginning to point towards Jesus bearing our sin, our shame upon himself. But the skies were filled with the praise of heaven. Shepherds listened as the angels tell of the gift of God come down. Emmanuel, God with us. And then King of heaven, now the friend of sinners, humble servant in the Father's hands, filled with power and the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. But look at that second stanza. He walked my road, he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well, yet his righteous steps give me hope again. I will follow Emmanuel. And it's, go back over that for yourself. It's a story song. And when you and I look at Christmas, we sometimes stop at the opening chapters of the Gospels. We sometimes stop just at Jesus in Bethlehem's manger. But the reality is that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. When he begins his teaching ministry, he says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When he starts to teach us, and we've looked at this during this past year in the Sermon on the Mount, we see what it is to live as followers of Christ. And all of it is moving towards Calvary's cross. And there again, Jesus is bound. But he's not bound this time in swaddling cloths. He's bound by the nails that keep him in Calvary's cross. And he's went there of his own volition, of his own choice, of his own free will. And he's went there because he loves us. And he's went there because he longs for us to accept his sacrifice for our sins, that we might be forgiven. And then, of course, he's placed in a borrowed grave. Mary, who's treasured up all these things in her heart, Mary that had heard Simeon say to her, a sword will pierce your own heart also, now sees the one she held in swaddling cloths on Calvary's cross, and then placed into a tomb. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, we meet cloths again. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened, because the grave clothes could not bind him. Because the Christ who died had now risen. And because he has risen, you and I, if we have faith in him, can know life in all its fullness and life forevermore. And so the incredible news of Christmas is that it's not just the cradle, but it's the cradle to the cross, to the grave, to the skies. And one day he's coming back. That's where that Stuart Townend hymn goes. One day he's coming back. And he's coming back for his church. And the church is the bride of Christ that runs into its lover's arms. Christmas is the most incredible message of the love of God, of the good news of the grace of God in Christ to all who will believe and trust in him. And tonight, as we move from Christmas Eve into Christmas Day, and tomorrow as we gather perhaps with family or for many people gathering, being just on their own, my prayer would be that the presence of Christ would transform that home, would transform that heart. And if you've got a little gift to open in Christmas Day, you might open that and be thankful. But you might, by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, be convicted in such a way that the greatest gift that is freely given to you, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and the call to faith in Him, trust in Him, belief in Him, would be yours. And you would be one who would receive that gift and make that gift your own through faith in Christ. You know, it is one of the regular tragedies of our times that many people end up with unwanted gifts. I saw a lot of people today. I had to go into the town centre. That's a place you want to avoid. But I had to go into the town centre today briefly. And I saw a lot of people scurrying about. They didn't look as if they were filled with all the joy of Christmas. They were scurrying about and they looked to me as if they were desperate. Desperate to get a gift for someone. And I couldn't help but thinking some of the gifts they were buying were probably going to go into the category of unwanted. Not a lot of thought went into that. But my prayer is that our Lord Jesus Christ would never be an unwanted gift. My prayer is instead that He would be the one gift that you would receive, knowing that this gift and this gift alone are able to touch, to transform, to satisfy at the deepest level of our being and to sustain us, not just for a moment, but in actual fact for all eternity. You know, I'm so very thankful for the folks that choose our worship songs week in and week out, because they generally speaking think about what we're singing. Some of the carols, in actual fact, kind of, you know, they just leave us with Jesus in the manger. They don't actually look further into all the fullness of the message that He brings. But generally speaking, the folks that choose all of ours choose songs that lift our eyes to see the whole vision of what God was doing in Christ at Christmas. Don't worry about it. And what I want you to do is to know that, by faith, to receive that, and to make that real in your life. You know, I'm glad to be able to share this message tonight. Earlier on, we had all of our children, and it was like trying to share a message in the midst of the creche. But it was great fun just to have our children, because they bring so much love and so much joy and so much fun into the midst of it all. But I do pray that as we reflect upon the unusual rest, you and I would find the rest that our hearts are longing for. We'd find the satisfaction that will keep us not only for a moment, but for all eternity. And we'd find that in the Christ of Bethlehem's manger. We'd find that in the Christ of Calvary's cross. We'd find that in the Christ of the empty tomb. We'd find that in the Christ who has come this Christmas and one day is coming again to take all those who know him and who love him to be with him for all eternity. Let's pray together.